The question was asked, when we view machlokes, and there is disagreement between the rabbis, do we say that must be that's what God wants, that there be a disagreement between the rabbis? So, before I answer the question, I want us to learn Tosefta and Sanhedrin. Amar Rabbi Yossi, the Tosefta is in the 7th chapter of the Tosefta and Sanhedrin. Rabbi Yossi says, "Barishona lo haya machlokes b'Yisrael." Originally, there was no machlokes in Am Yisrael. How did that work? Betin shel 71 shayu b'lishkat hagazit. You had the high court sitting in the temple. V'shar b'teidinin shel 23 hayu b'ayarot shel Yisrael. He had other courts scattered throughout Israel. He had two courts in Jerusalem, two courts that consisted of three big rabbis, one in Harabayas, in the entrance to Harabayas, and one in the Chel, which was the area between, there was a small external fence that signified the last place where people of a certain level of defilement could approach. And after that fence, you really approach the Beit HaMikdash. So that area, that small area between the fence and the Beit HaMikdash, was called the Chel. V'tzarich, it was an interesting fence. They had a sign on that fence in every language warning you, beyond this point, you may not go if you're defiled, etc. V'tzarich echad mehen halacha, if a person has a question, nitzrach echad mehen halacha, if a person needed to verify a certain halacha, holech etzel betin shebeiro, he goes to the courts in his city. En betin beiro, if he doesn't have a court in his city, holech lebetin asamuch leiro, he goes to the next city that has a court. Im shamu, if they had a tradition, amru lo. So, amru lahem, they tell him the tradition, vim lav, if they didn't have a tradition to answer the question, he and the top person in the courts, Bain Lebetin Shemahar Habayit, would ascend to the court in Harabayis. Im Shamu, if they had a tradition, Amru Lehem, they tell them, Vim La Velu Velu Bain Lebetin Agadol Shebishkat Agazit. And if not, then together they would ascend to the court in the temple. Aval Pishu Shivim Vechad, even though that court numbered 71 people, en pachot me'23. The court would have a minimum, meaning sometimes they had to go out to a wedding, sometimes they had to go out to a bris, sometimes they had to go out to deal with court cases outside the Beit HaMikdash. They always had a minimum of 23. Nitzrach echad mehem natzet, if someone had to leave, ro'im yesh ha'23. He first looks around, is there 23? Yotze, then he leaves. Im lav eno yotze, if not, he wouldn't leave. Ad shiyush ha'23. There was always a minimum of 23 present. They were there all day long, from the morning sacrifice to the afternoon sacrifice. On Shabbos, they would not enter. They'd have an academy on Harabayis. That's where they went to learn.
What is Harabayis?
The Temple Mount. I can't tell you. Nishala Sheila. I don't know. Question was asked. Im Shamu, if they had a tradition, the High Court, Amulem. So they'd answer based on their tradition. Im Lav, if they don't have a tradition, Omedim Lamidyan. So then they take a vote. Obviously, they'd have a discussion, they try to verify. Im Rabu Mitamin, Timu. If the number of those who said defiled, they won, so then they'd rule defiled. Rabu Mitarim, Tiaru. If the number of those who said pure outnumbered, they'd make it pure. Umisham halacha rovachat b'Yisrael. So from there, the halacha would spread out throughout Israel because you had a court, you had a bottom line. No machlokas. So you ask me, what does Hashem want? Hashem wants bottom line. Next stage. Mi sherabu talmidei Shammai v'Hillel shelo shimshu kol tzorkan. From the generation of the disciples of Shammai and Hillel, who did not learn by their teachers as much as is necessary, hirbu machloket b'Yisrael. There became many machlokas in Am Yisrael. V'nasu shtei torot. The Torah became like two Torahs. The Braisa continues with other interesting points about how a person becomes a judge, etc. How do we understand that line? Misherabu talmidei Shammai v'Hillel shelo shimshu kol tzokan. From the generation that there were many students of Shammai and Hillel who did not learn as much as necessary. So we have two understandings. Rambam and Rav Shri Raigon. Rav Shri Raigon says the generation of the disciples of Shammai and Hillel was the generation of great Roman persecution. That's the generation adjacent to the destruction of the temple. We know the destruction was a product of the Roman persecution, where the Jews rebelled because they were being so persecuted, but at the end of the day, that was a generation where they wouldn't let them learn Torah. So the students of Shammai and Hillel, they couldn't learn Torah. As much as they tried, they didn't have normal academies. The academies had to go into hiding. They didn't have normal time to converse with their friends in Torah. All of Torah went into hiding. So, of course, the next generation could not master the Torah the way all their predecessors had. And that's where Machlokas came from. So, it's not ideal. To a certain degree, it's a potential that exists in the Torah. But it's not ideal. Meaning the ideal would be to have a bottom line.
If that's what we're saying, then it is possible that you're saying these are the words and these are the words of living Torah. But if it is possible, then that there can be a right and there can be wrong. It doesn't necessarily mean both have to be right.
Well, we're saying they're both within the tradition. And they're both words of Torah. And they should have been able to attain a bottom line, but couldn't. Because they didn't have that heightened an understanding of the tradition. You understand, we're talking about Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Akiva, we're talking about giants.
So certainly as far as we are today as from where they were, we're so far away, and the further we get away, the more machlokes we're going to have.
To a degree,
the less learned we are.
It's a little more complicated than that.
Okay.
Meaning,
We're
glossing over too many details because they were at a stage where they were still deriving their Torah from the written Torah. Meaning, by them, the importance of having an accurate tradition was the question of how are you going to derive these words? Are you allowed to eat a grasshopper with milk or not? Are you allowed to eat fish with milk or not? When the Torah says no meat with milk, does that include meat? Does that include fowl? Does that include fish? Does that include grasshoppers? What does that include? So we come out with the bottom line. Grasshoppers? You don't know what grasshoppers are? Locust?
Chagavim.
Right. Certain grasshoppers are kosher.
Nobody knows.
So when they were ruling, when they had the slightest derivation from their tradition, that affected their capacity to derive. So that's why when you say today we're so distant, today we don't derive any halachos from the Torah. Today our learning is all based on the Talmud, on the Rishonim, the Achronim. It's a different world.
Okay, so what we're basing, what the Gedolim of today are basing their decisions are based on. Okay.
Right. So that's why it's not so accurate. Meaning someone today could be as big as someone 300 years ago because the work is there. It's up to you to learn it. What's necessary. After you have a strong basis, what's necessary is there for you to grow. It's up to you.
So anyone could become a Gadol Ador, or that comes with a special piece from Shammai?
No, everyone could be a Gadol Ador. It's your job to be. No, not everyone. You're right. Some people have a low IQ. They can't. What do you mean? What?
Can a Gadol Ador wear jeans?
That's a good question, but not for now. So maybe later we'll get back to it. Okay, the Rambam's interpretation of the Braisa is not so relevant to us right now, so we'll leave that for a different time.